Hello, Sendai!
外国語情報番組、多言語放送局の時間です。この番組は、仙台観光国際協会、センティアが、英語、中国語、韓国語、優しい日本語の4言語で毎月トピックを変えて情報をお伝えしています。今日の担当は、アイルランド出身のイーライと、
カナダ出身のテシアです。
今月のテーマは、仙台の秋を満喫しよう、紅葉、イモニカイです。今日は英語でお送りいたします。Hello and welcome to Hello Sendai. Every month we broadcast seasonal topics and information to you from Sentia in English, Chinese, Korean, and Easy Japanese. My name is Eli and I'm from Ireland.
And my name's Tesha and I'm from Canada.
Our topic for today is the best of autumn in Sendai. Okay, so October has arrived. The weather, it's not too hot or cold. It's the time of the year where you can just about do anything.I'm sure a lot of people are looking forward to traveling, doing a bit of exercise, or maybe tackling something new in their studies. So there's a word in Japanese, minori no aki, which translates roughly to a fruitful autumn. And this describes how autumn is the perfect time to get your hands on some amazing food. Of course, here in Sendai and indeed Tohoku, autumn is full of things to look forward to. Which brings us to today's topic, the best of autumn in Sendai. Today, me and my co-host Tesha will be talking about some of the things you can enjoy in Sendai during this time.Such as Imoni hot pot parties and going to see the autumn colors. All right, so first off, what kind of events come to mind when you think of October?
I think for us Canadians, probably Canadian Thanksgiving. So a lot of people don't even know that Canadian Thanksgiving is a holiday, but it's actually separate from American Thanksgiving. So American Thanksgiving takes place typically in late October, right before Christmas, whereas Canadian Thanksgiving is pretty early on in October.
Okay.
And I'd say that the things that we do during Thanksgiving is generally quite similar to what the Americans do. But, you know, our Thanksgiving is not just to give thanks to your family, but also to the people who were living on the land before we were, because they were the ones who helped us.
Okay.
Yeah, so to show thanks to not just your immediate family, but just to show gratitude to everything around you, essentially, and all the people, you know, all the people that existed so that you can be who you are today.
Okay.
And I think that's pretty awesome.
That's okay, that's a nice idea behind it. So is the festival now, is it kind of mostly celebrating families, or do you kind of do stuff with neighbors and stuff as well?
Yeah, so usually the turkey party is within families. Like, especially for me, I have a very big extended family.
Okay.
I have like 10 aunts and like 10 uncles. So usually it's just families, but like usually some of my friends will invite me to their parties if they have fewer people. So I'll just kind of turkey hop around the neighborhood, so to say. And sometimes, you know, if you have leftovers, we'll just pack it up and have a really nice autumn picnic outside, you know, watching the beautiful maple leaves, because that's also around the same time when they all turn bright red, and it's spectacular.
Okay, sounds lovely, yeah, when it comes to Ireland in autumn or October even, I suppose it's not really a unique holiday like, compared to others, like, I suppose, Thanksgiving, but we have Halloween, of course, and one thing that a lot of people don't know about Halloween is that it actually started in Ireland. So its roots go back to a festival in Ireland that was celebrated for a very long time called Samhain. And the kind of thinking behind it was that that was the time in the old Celtic calendar where the kind of the veil between our world and the next one was at its weakest. So all the monsters, you know, the ghouls, they all came out, hence the, you know, the dressing up and the trick-or-treating and all that. The kind of Halloween that we celebrate in Ireland now at the end of October, it's very similar to like the kind you would see in America. You know, people kind of go trick-or-treating, they go door-to-door. But recently there's been kind of a trend with people where they've tried to like kind of reclaim some of our old traditions in that sense, like the old Samhain traditions. So, for example, you know, like jack-o'-lanterns, right?
Yeah,
you know, they're made of pumpkins.
Yeah.
But in Ireland, originally they were made with turnips, which are famously very, very hard to carve.
Right.
And they're a lot smaller as well. But there's been a lot of people recently that have been trying to carve with them. So we have that, and we also have like parades that people are doing in like towns now. So they do like these Samhain parades where they all dress up and they kind of walk down the street as kind of a community building kind of activity.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah, I know, they're really, really fun. They haven't been going on for the last few years now because of course, COVID. But, it's something I'm definitely going to look forward to when I go back and visit. So yeah, I mean, you mentioned there the maple leaves, right? Mm-hmm. So like in Canada, would you ever really kind of go out to see the autumn colors? Would you make an effort to kind of, you know, go out to the mountains to see the beautiful red leaves or?
Well, I mean, we just kind of live life as normal because that's something that happens every year, you know? So actually every year in summer in Canada, we get a lot of forest fires. So autumn is kind of when everything kind of bounced back, you know, from the smoky, smoggy, very unpleasant summer fires, and you can finally get to enjoy nature again, so to say. So it is a season where a lot of people go out and go hiking, but I believe it's because, you know, summer's finally over, and it's it doesn't really have that much to do with like, oh yeah, you know, look at how beautiful the leaves are. In contrast to how, you know, in Japan, people will go to very far away places just to take a look at the leaf. That's something that I still struggle to grasp a little bit, because I'm just like, it's just leaf, you know, it's kind of just there, but hey, different country, different culture.
I mean, it's similar in Ireland, like we don't really have a culture of kind of going out and seeing the leaves for the sake of seeing the leaves, you know. But like that's one thing I did notice out here is just the leaves are a lot more vibrant here when it comes to autumn. Like when they go red, they go really red. Because in Ireland, it's like even during the autumn, if when they kind of start to kind of, I suppose, you know, turn reddish or whatever, it's, it only kind of ends up being like an orangey kind of a color, and then they just kind of fall. So it's not really as impactful, I think, as here. Because I think as well in Ireland, like most of our land is farmland as well. So there's very few forests, and if there are, they're usually evergreen. So there are like, there's some old oak forests and stuff that might go red in the autumn, but I think it's quite small.
And I think in Japan, just like the period of red leaves is just a lot shorter in comparison to, I'm not quite sure about Europe, but North America for sure. Because in Canada, it's a lot colder. So our leaves kind of stayed for like, I want to say like about 2 months, usually from mid September to like early November, even sometimes depends on the weather of that year. But in Japan, it's like 2 weeks. So I think in Japan, everyone's just scrambling to, you know, catch a glimpse of the beautiful red leaf before it's gone for the rest of the year again. So it kind of makes sense, I guess, in that regard.
It's kind of like the sakura, you know, it's like, it's a very short time.
Because we also have cherry blossoms in the west coast of North America, and the blossoming period is a lot longer than what it is in Japan. So yeah, I think it's just a climate thing.
That's interesting. I've never heard of that. So yeah, and then another, I suppose, kind of staple of autumn here in Sendai, Tohoku, is imoni. So have you ever been to an imoni hot pot party yourself?
Yes, actually. So I went to an imoni experience, they call it Taikenkai, last year. I think it was Hirosegawa, somewhere along Hirosegawa. It's very long, I don't remember. But like, so it was me plus a few old people. And we're just kind of sitting there and making Sendai imoni, which is different from Yamagata imoni. It's two separate things. Different soup, different like soup base, different ingredients. So the Sendai version had a miso base. And we have, of course, sato imo, hence the imo. And we also use pork and other ingredients that you might see in other stews, like in oden, you know, like carrots and turnips, mushrooms sometimes, I think. And so just all types of different things. Whereas for Yamagata imoni, it's a lot more simple. It's just soy sauce based broth with like sato imo and also beef. That's about it.
Very different. And like for, if you're taking part in like an imoni party, do you kind of have to bring ingredients yourself, or do they kind of have stuff ready for you when you arrive? Or
Depends on the thing you signed up for. The one that I signed up for, we didn't have to. So they have this essentially like imoni kit. So you just go there and there's like a pot waiting for you, you pour water in and you just kind of like put the stuff in, and everything's pre-measured. So essentially you're paying for the ingredients, so to say, already when you're paying to participate in that experience. So I think that'll actually be very nice if you're like doing it for the first time and you're not quite sure what to bring. So you don't have to think about it, and you don't have to buy like 10,000 different ingredients, right?
Because that's one thing, because I've only just arrived, right? So I haven't had the chance to kind of take part in any money party yet. So that's one thing I'm kind of thinking, like, if I do go, do I have to prepare anything? Do I have to like bring a lot of stuff? because yeah, like before coming here, even my kind of image of imoni, because I'd never even heard of it before, I just saw the kanji because it's written with basically potato boil party.
Yeah.
So me looking at that, I imagined like a pot of water and just a single potato sitting on it. Which I don't know, that's probably reflective of me coming from Ireland. I don't know. But yeah, so it's not just a potato, it's lots of different things, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And you know, it's not just water, there's an actual soup on there so you can drink it.
Yeah, that's good to hear.
Yeah, and I just find it interesting how in Japan they use sato imo.
Oh,
and
yes.
Imoni, because I feel like I don't really see this ingredient being used in other dishes. Like some stews, sometimes people do substitute like potatoes for sato imo, but it's never the other way around. Like you won't go to imoni and see like someone using potatoes in place of sato imo.
Yeah.
That's just not good.
Yeah. So like, does the flavor of sato imo change quite a bit from jagaimo or like, you know, the western potato?
Yeah, I feel like sato imo, it's a bit more dense, if that makes sense. So, you know, potatoes, depending on the variety, if you boil it for too long, it kind of like crumbles apart.
Yeah.
Like sato imo doesn't really do that. It's
so
just
it stays
kind of,
quite
yeah,
hard.
It kind of stays compact the entire time. So I think that's why people love putting it in stew. You can just throw it in and not think about it. It's not going to like explode on you.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I'm pretty sure the reason why it's used in imoni is because autumn is sato imo season. It's when sato imo harvest starts to roll in.
Okay.
Yeah, and especially in Tohoku, we have such a big agriculture community. Mm-hmm. That's probably when people are like, you know, just having enough sato imo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it kind of coincides.
Yeah, it's like a seasonal ingredient. And I think Japanese people really like using seasonal ingredients in, you know, their foods and stuff like that.
Okay, that's interesting. And like with sato imo, like I suppose they call it imoni, right? The soup.
Mm-hmm.
So does the sato imo lend like a particular flavor to the soup? Does it?
I don't
think
so.
Because it seems to be
so.
Such like a...
Yeah.
It's in the name, so you'd assume it's like a main player, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of... It's similar to its relative, like, potatoes in that it itself does not have that much flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very good at soaking up flavors.
Okay.
Yeah, so when you put
like
it in a
tofu,
stew...
Almost.
Yeah, almost. Like a very compact tofu.
Yeah,
so when you put it in, like, a pot of boiling soy sauce base or like miso based soup, it kind of just becomes that flavor, and I think that's pretty neat. And you know, you get the umami from the meat and everything.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay, so time is approaching now, so we're just going to finish up with a few announcements from Sendia. So Sendia are currently providing a grant for projects by community organizations that are promoting international exchange, international cooperation, cross-cultural understanding, or multiculturalism. So if there's anyone that's planning such a project, please get in touch. The fourth application phase for this year's grant runs from Wednesday the 1st until Thursday the 30th of November. To be eligible for the grant, you must be a non-profit organization that is mainly active within Sendai City, and over half of your membership must either live, work, or study in Sendai. The grant is also limited to projects that will be run during the period from January to March 2024, and the maximum amount available to the grant is 100,000 yen. Please note that the maximum amount available will differ based on the scale and running costs of the event. Those considering applying, please contact us through email at kokusaika@sendia-sendai.jp. That's KOKUSAIKA @sentia-sendai.jp. Or give us a call at 022-268-6260. Further details can be found on Sentia's website. And that's all from us this month. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.